So I want to start out, first of all, thank you for being here. I'm a little undone. Morning is kind of my tender time. If I just say the name of Jesus while I'm having my cup of coffee in the morning, I'm crying. This is my pink belly time, so I'm trying to pull it together here. I just really want to worship the Lord and cry. That's what I do in the morning. That's what I'm best at in the morning, right? Everything else, not so much, but the Lord will bring his anointing. I'll be able to impart and teach, and I'm really looking forward to it. But I just want to share with you, how many of you were not here last night? You weren't here last night? So if you have, I just want to let you know about these, that the Lord had me start making these teachings available. And these two are bilingual. I'm teaching and they are being translated as I'm teaching, prophesying with purity and power, and also the preparation of a prophetic woman. And they're self-explanatory, but very powerful. And the prophesying with purity and power will take you into some prayers to renounce botanica, spiritism, and some different things. But it also is a very comprehensive teaching on the prophetic, as well as the journey of being prepared to become the messenger of the Lord. Preparation of a prophetic woman, this is for men and women, but it's my journey and how the Lord will use wilderness experiences, the trials and the traumas that we've been through, so that we can become a voice crying out for God, even coming out of that wilderness season, and how we learn to hear the voice of God in that place, and how we even get our prophetic understanding and sensings from that wilderness season and from those trials and hard things that we've had to go through. And every single person, beloved, hear me, every single person that's called of God has to go through a wilderness season. Think of Jesus, think of Moses. You know, think of Deborah with the Midianites. Think about the wilderness that Paul. How many people, you have to go through a wilderness to be able to be seasoned and to be able to come into the place of maturity to handle the calling, the anointing, and the giftings of God in the fullness that God wants you to. And in fact, the root word for Deborah is the same root word for wilderness. We want to be a Deborah, we want to be a prophet to the nations, but that same root word for wilderness is Debar. And it's where we get the word Deborah from. It's alignment. It's refinement. And sometimes he finds us in the fire. He finds us being refined in fire. Amen. So that we can bring forth gold. So that's preparation of a prophetic woman. It is for men and women. Also, your anointing, your authority. It's not a professionally done recording. It's not as clean as some of the others. There's background noises. But the truth is, it was so anointed and powerful for that. For this season, I just went ahead and recorded it anyway. Shifting atmospheres with the power of your words. We're going to find out. We're in the season, the decade of pay. We've entered into the Hebrew calendar of 5780. The number 80 is the Hebrew letter pay, which means the mouth. Shifting atmospheres with the power of your words. It's going to go into the differences and release you and activate you into the power of blessing. Jesus said, when you enter into a house, the first thing you say is peace to this house. That's how powerful your blessing is. And it's so powerful that he said, when you leave, if they don't receive you, take your peace with you.
Oh, wow.
That's how powerful it is. What's the difference between the release of the blessing, the releasing of just speaking the word by faith, the release of prophetic declarations, and the releasing of prayers? What's the difference with the different types and functions of the word and the anointing behind them when you speak? This is going to change the atmosphere in your home, on your job, everywhere you travel, shifting atmospheres with the power of your words. This is the season we're in. And then increasing levels of prophetic ministry. This will take you from simple prophecy all the way through the office of a prophet, and different manifestations of each one, and how you can flow in the same gifting and anointing, not the same authority, but the same gifting and anointing like a prophet. But you just won't function exactly the same, because the office gifting, the office of a prophet, will have governmental authority to operate within the body of Christ, and will be given also some strategies to work with church leaders to implement those words and to change and shift culture.
So just because you prophesy doesn't make you a prophet. But it is the same Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So there you go. Also, I forgot to tell you last night, for those of you that were here, that with each of one of these, I have handouts. For the bilingual ones, there's some in Spanish. And for the English ones, there's some in English. And so I want to make sure that you have those and that know those are available to you, especially this one, when you purchase the Shifting Atmospheres with Your Words. There are decrees to make. I have printed decrees that you can speak, prophetic declarations for you to speak over your home, your family, your job, whatever, because God has given you authority wherever you go. Well, where do you go? Where are you walking? God's giving you authority there, okay? There's a few places that you should probably not, but that's a whole nother teaching. And I'll tell you when I'm ready to start recording. Okay, welcome. Welcome to New Branch Ministries. Welcome to those of you that are listening, that are watching, listening, and we're just so happy to be able to release some teaching during this session on motivational gifts. And it is such an honor and a blessing. It is so profound, unique, and beautiful to find out who you are in God. How has God made you? And so I'm very excited about this teaching. Let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, Father God, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, King Jesus, and who you are on the inside of us. For as we learn today about the motivational gifts and the way that we flow in you, we're going to find, Jesus, that it's your character, it's your gifting, it's your anointings, it's your perspectives that are being released within us. And we are your body. And so, Lord Jesus, we give you all the glory and the praise. Father, we thank you right now, for we are wonderfully made. And we embrace our uniqueness. We say yes and amen to the way we see things and the way we respond to things. We thank you that we are made perfectly the way you intended us to bring you the highest glory, the highest praise, but at the same time, to be able to be amazed at the peace, the joy, the destiny, and the fulfillment that we receive by knowing who you are in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and jump right into the motivational gifts here. I was going to share a little bit about some things from last night, but maybe we'll do that before we start on our next session. So let me pull up my notes here so I don't get sidetracked. So it is so neat because God is really speaking right now about the motivational gifts and the gifts of the Spirit. And we'll talk about more about the gifts of the Spirit, the manifestation gifts, in the next session. But it's interesting to let you know how we're lined up. My husband is right now, and for the last probably 4 weeks, been teaching on the motivational gifts and the gifts of the Spirit at our church, at Firepoint Church. And so I was really blessed because I got to kind of part of these notes, half of these notes you see in front of you. Basically, I took his notes and I put them on a piece of paper. And then I just kind of played with them and went over them. And I'm like, thank you, Father, for David Richardson and for putting this all together for me. Because I was like, why reinvent the wheel? He already, you know, because it's like, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I like that. And then I just brought I added a little bit more to it, and a little bit more of my own stuff. And so there you go. It was beautiful. It was brilliant, which gave me more time to prepare for some other things that I'll be sharing later. And then I also have on we're not going to go there now, but the back two pages, I found something that was just brilliant online that kind of wrapped everything up. And so it was really cool. I've never had such an easy time coming up with notes, you know. Usually I just get before the Lord and get on my computer and spend hours, and I just get lost in it, literally. I don't eat, I don't drink, I'm in my bathrobe, and I'm still just you know, the hours have gone by and the sun's gone down, and I hear now I've got my notes and it just comes up, and that's kind of a study time for me and playing with it. And I'm like, I get so excited. I love the stuff I teach. I love the stuff I impart. And I love the Word. I love the Bible. I just love the Bible. I'm just like, just put me in a room with the Bible. Bible, Holy Spirit, I'm good, you know? And so this was just really an unusual and wonderful way of being able to present this to you. And so, motivational gifts. This is part one. So what are the spiritual gifts? What are the differences? This is what we're going to find out today. We're going to find out what are the differences between the spiritual gifts. We're going to find out how do you begin to learn what your gifts are. We're going to cover that more comprehensively when we get to the end of this teaching. And then how do you learn to appreciate the gifts in others? We were just sharing above all else. In fact, I was looking it up. If somebody could find that for me, I really want to put this on this teaching, if you could look it up on your phone. But it says, above all else, keeping the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Keeping the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Why? My husband and I are pastors of Fire Point Church, and we are actually learning the differences and the way people are wired uniquely and independently from each other. And so people will many times get offended because they're expressing themselves in a different way and seeing a different perspective than they see it. But it's not because they're trying to be hostile or to be divisive. It's because everyone has a different part. And in fact, the Bible says that we see in part and we prophesy in part. And so the revelations of God and the truth, every truth has different facets. And so it's like a piece of a pie. If you look at the whole piece of pie, you have different parts and different pieces to it. Well, that's how each one of us are. The body of Christ, there's different members, different parts to it, and everybody sees things a different way. We are not made to be automatons. We are not made to be robots. We're not supposed to just be yes people. Okay? We need to see there are differences, and there's different expressions of those differences, and to celebrate each one and the way we see things. So let's explain that a little bit more. The Bible says that every good and perfect gift is from above. James 1, 16 through 17 says, don't be deceived. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation of shadow due to change. In other words, every good gift, every perfect gift is from God. You are a perfect and good gift. And the things that God put in you, the gifts God put in you, are perfect and they are good. Say, I am perfect and good.
I am perfect and good.
And I'm being transformed into the image of Jesus.
And I'm being transformed into the image of Jesus.
By the power of the Spirit of God.
By the power of the Spirit of God.
And the things that God put in me.
And the things that God put in me.
The gifts He has given me.
Are perfect and good.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And so you need to see that. People sometimes think, well, there's something wrong with me. I feel different about the situation than other people. I don't see it like they do. But you need to celebrate that because God is showing you a perspective they don't have. And as long as it's based on the Bible, right, which we talked about, it's not going against the Bible, but it's a different way, a different lens, a different glasses, different way of seeing things, then that is a more whole perspective. And that needs to be heard, right? And it's really difficult sometimes when you get in churches and maybe a leader will say something a certain way, and this is the way it needs to be. And of course, we defer to that leadership and we say yes to that, but they also need to be willing to hear from other counsel. Other people that maybe see it a little different, like maybe we shouldn't do that then, maybe we should do that later because we want to finish up doing this. And it's wise to be able to listen to other people and hear their perspectives as well. Okay, so understanding your build and purpose. Psalms 139 verse 14, and I'm reading these because I know some people won't have these handouts on the video, and I want to make sure they hear this. King David said, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. Beloved, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are unique. You are an amazing creation by God. And what I love about the motivational gifts and what I really was thrilled to learn about is how beautiful and unique we all are. And I love that about you. I love that maybe she will see something different than you do. And maybe you have a different perspective than she does. And we need each other. And I love that. And it's amazing. So Ephesians 2 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared before that we should walk in them." You are a minister created for good works. God, you are his workmanship. In other words, God made you a special way. When you were in your mother's womb, the Father decided how you would be wired. What is going to be your motivational gifts? What is going to be the way you think about things? You need to realize that you are so loved and so unique, that you are special, and honestly, there's nobody else exactly like you. You are priceless. You are absolutely priceless. That's why the Bible says that for the joy set before Jesus in Hebrews 12, I believe it is, for the joy set before him, he endured the shame and died on the cross for you. What was the joy set before him? It was you. It was you. It was you. It was you. It was all of you. The joy set before Jesus was you, to redeem your gifts, to redeem your life, to redeem that workmanship that is destined to come forth in this season. And that above all, beloved, I want you to know, I want you to hear me. This is your time. This is your season. This is time for you to arise, knowing how special, anointed, and appointed you are with special, unique gifts, whether with the motivational gifts. In the next session, we'll talk about the gifts of the Spirit, but for you to learn who you are in him, because you are wonderfully made. You are so beautiful, just as you are. And so my prayer and the Lord's work by the power of the Spirit of God in your life and this session would be that you embrace these gifts, that you have those aha moments by the Spirit of revelation in this room right now, that you're like, yes, I'm not crazy. That's why I feel the way I do. This is the way I do what I do. This is why I feel this way, and why am I motivated to do this, and why I'd rather do this ministry than this one. And I know I did that one because they needed me to, but it was so boring and I didn't like it. But when I did this one, I was just thrilled. I was so happy. Yes. I embrace who I am, God. You made me unique. You made me wonderful. And I want to be who you made me to be. Amen?
Amen.
Conform to the likeness of Jesus in these different things. What's really neat about these gifts is every one of them is a reflection of the character of Jesus. But he doesn't give it all to everybody, although you can flow in and out of all of these at any given time. But there's going to be one or two of them that are your primary. Now let's go on. In Romans 12, 3 through 8, this is the English Standard Version. "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think." That's clue number one, by the way. Just because you see something a certain way don't mean you're the only one and that you're the only one that's right. Okay? "But to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function," say function,
"function,
so we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members one of another." Oh my goodness, we're members one of another. We're one body. But we're separate parts, but we're all connected. So important to see that. "Having gifts that differ according to the grace," according to the what?
Grace.
Grace. Do we earn these? No. They can be developed though. They can be taught, they can be developed, but there are those that you will have especially innate grace gifts on the inside of you to flow and to see things a certain way. to be motivated a certain way. What is your driver? What is your motivation? What makes you sing? What gives you joy? So let's go on. It says, according to the grace given to us, let us use them. Let us do what with them?
Use them.
Let's just go home and watch TV. Let's just watch something on Facebook. Let's watch the ministers on YouTube, and that's our church. No, you gotta get in a body of believers. Find a church, find a gathering of believers, find a home group, and start using your gift. Use your gifts on the job. Explore and find out through this teaching who you are in God. And begin to celebrate who you are. Use your gifts and watch them grow. Amen? So, if prophecy in proportion to your faith. Now, let's land there for, actually, we'll finish reading it and then we'll go back. If prophecy in proportion to your faith, if service in serving, the one who teaches in teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, and the one who leads with zeal, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. So you have here seven motivational gifts: prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, gifts, diligence, mercy. What's really cool is I want to break up this for a minute. See, the Bible says to prophesy in accordance to your faith. You know, I was listening to a prophet before I came down here yesterday, Tracy Cook. I don't know if you've heard of him, look him up. He's amazing, Tracy Cook. I'll talk about him more in the next session. But Tracy Cook says, it takes more faith to speak the word than it does to see the word. In other words, you might receive revelation, you might receive a prophetic word for somebody. That's not the hard part. The hard part is sharing it. The hard part is sharing it. And faith is always spelled R-I-S-K. How many? Risk. When you're obedient to God, there's always a risk. I've given a prophetic word to people and they've looked at me like a dog with a new pan. In other words, just staring at you like, what are you talking about? And I remember one time I was so upset because I gave a prophetic word to somebody and they just stared at me like they hated me. And you know, I'm a sanguine personality and I want to be loved. I like it when people love me and I like it when people appreciate me and smile. You know, he just looked at me like he wanted to get me in the back alley and beat me up. It was scary. I'm serious. I'm just like, please, just please, you know. And then later, his friend who was with him came up to me and he's like, we were so blessed by that word. That was so right on. My friend just loved that. So you can never go by their faces, you know. But there is risk. And when you give a prophetic word, you have to step out by faith. So, and that's even in the way you see things prophetically. Now, we're going to talk about this because this is not just prophesying, but it's also about the way you see things like a prophet. You might not be a prophet, but have you ever been around those people that are very black and white? You almost feel like they're judgmental, but they're not trying to be judgmental, but they're just like, well, I don't know about that because, you know, I really feel like, you know, the Bible says, well, and I'm not sure. I'm not sure of their motives. And, you know, they're very kind of like, well, take a chill pill. Can't we just all get along?
Yeah.
But they're just wired to be very perceptive. And we're going to talk about that. And so let's break this up a little bit. That word prophecy is actually to prophesy. A discourse emanating from divine inspiration, declaring the purposes of God, whether by reproving and admonishing the wicked, or comforting the afflicted, or revealing things hidden, especially by foretelling future events. So a person that's already bent towards the prophetic, they might not be baptized in the Holy Spirit, they might not even know anything about prophecy, but have you ever met those people on the job, and they're like, no, I don't think so. I don't trust that person. And you're like, wow, I thought they were nice. I like the way they're, no, I don't feel good about that. I think they're just using you, you know, whatever. And you're like, whew, you know, they're like really kind of black and white, you know?
Yeah.
And so this is not just about giving a prophetic word, although it could. Some people are just wired this way.
Yeah.
But this is specifically about an endowment that makes a person unique in the way they see things. Although this is the same word, which is so interesting, because I was talking to my husband as I was studying this. This is how powerful prophecy is. And of course, you're coming from the perspective of a prophet. So, you know, for me, everything's about the prophetic. But just saying, we've got the motivational gifts, which is to be prophetic and to see things, and in a very kind of, I want to say black and white way, discerning way, okay? Even people that aren't saved, they don't know anything about being a prophet. They're not prophets. They're not even serving God. They're whatever, but they're just very, they're just very kind of discerning. They have this bent to be that way. It's kind of built in them by God, right? So you've got the motivational gift of prophecy, and then you've got, the Bible says you can all prophesy, which is simple prophecy, speaking words of edification, exhortation, and comfort by the power of the Spirit of God. Then you've got people that are highly prophetic, which, you know, they're just people, they sense and see things in the Spirit all the time. That's Carol over there. My Lord, she is so sensitive. Talk about highly prophetic. My Lord, she's just sensing and seeing everything, yeah, angels or whatever. But you know, she's not a commissioned prophet. She might operate like one. She's not a commissioned one at this point. God. And then you've got the gift of prophecy. Now, the gift of prophecy is a little bit different than, now I know I'm going off of this, of the notes a little bit, but I'm telling you, this whole prophetic thing is, I'm landing here for a minute, okay? Because you've got now the motivational gift of prophecy, where people are just wired to perceive things right and wrong and black and white, and you know, not, and to be a discerner and just have, really be discerning about things, and to see things a certain way that other people don't see. They just don't get it. Why are they acting that way? Why don't they trust that person? They're just like, well, I don't feel right about this, you know, whatever. That there's something wrong with this deal. That I don't trust this contract. There's something wrong with this. You know what I mean? You've met people like that. They're not even saved. And then you've got simple prophecy. We can all prophesy simple prophecy, education, exhortation, coming. Then you've got the highly prophetic ones that hear God and see God all the time. Then you've got the gift, the manifestation gift of the gift of prophecy. And that's when, and I happen to have that. Not all prophets have that. I'll be honest with you. Some of them, they're into poetry and singing and whatever. I don't know. But you can hand me a mic, and I'm not only called to the office of a prophet, but I have this, the gift of prophecy. So I can prophesy 99.99% of the time. I can prophesy over a rock. Like, just, you know, it's just there. It's a gift. It's an endowment. I don't deserve it. Trust me. It's something that's a grace gift, just like all of these gifts are. The motivational gifts are grace gifts. We don't earn them. We don't deserve them. They're just part of us because Jesus loves us, and he wants us to manifest him on the earth. And so then you've got the gift of prophecy, and we'll talk about that in the next session. And then you've got the office of the prophet, which is a governmental minister in the body of Christ that has authority and works with leaders to bring about the fuller counsel of God on the earth. So God's really all about prophecy, and with that I will move on. I had to land on that for a while. Then you've got the gift, the motivational gift of serving. And it's actually from where we get the word deacon from. It means to aid, to serve, to minister to people, to relieve people, and to be involved in service. And how many of you met people like that? They just want to serve people all the time. My Lord, they're not even taking care of their own house, but they're running off and cleaning other people's house. They just, you know what I'm saying? Their whole drive. How many of you met people like that? Thank God for them. They are the ones that they just want to serve you. You know what? They want to bring you food. They want to help you with the yard or whatever it is. They're drivers to serve. That's how they get fulfillment. That's what brings them joy. That's what makes them sing in the night. That's what what their driver is. Their primary driver is service. And then you've got the teacher. Now, in the body of Christ, you know who those are, okay? But these are people that are going to be instructors. They're going to be the people in colleges that are teaching. They're the people that they want people to have information, and they want to be the ones giving it to them, right? But they not only want to be the ones giving it to them, they want to make sure that everything is being done a right way, okay? Like, where's the instruction manual? I'm just like, show me where to press the button. I don't want to read any instruction manuals. I don't care. I don't want to know how this works. Just show me what button to push. I don't know anything about gigabytes and all that stuff, and I don't want to know. That sounds so boring to me. A teacher, they're going to want to know all the techie stuff and the physics behind this and that and all that. Boring. So boring. Now, if it has to do with the word, wait a second, I got a little bit of another driver here though, don't I? Because I love all that prophetic stuff. I'm wired towards discernment. It gets me into real trouble sometimes. Sometimes you just have to pray about stuff, right? But I also, if it comes to the word though, I have a second driver, don't I? Can you tell? Can you tell? I love the word of God. And of course, that lines up with my prophetic gifting. I love the word, so I love to teach. So you can have a multitude of these, and you can flow in and out of all of them at any time as Holy Spirit is leading you or as needed by obedience to God. But the truth is, there'll be one or two that are really your joy. You're like, yes, I love doing that. It's not even like work to you. It's like, this is just the way I breathe, right? And then you've got exhortation. And I love exhortation because it is paracleo, which is actually the word for Holy Spirit. Exhort means to comfort. And in fact, what's interesting is when the Bible says simple prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort, it's the same word, exhortation. A person that is an exhorter, it means to invite, to invoke, to implore, to console, to beseech, to call for, be of good comfort, desire, give, exhortation, entreat, pray. This is a person, again, they may not even be saved, but they're a person that they are so happy to see other people fulfill what they're supposed to do. They love to be able to encourage people in what they're doing. You know, they're those people, you meet them in the, you know, you can be in Santa Barbara or wherever in the New Age section, and they're those people that are like, I just feel like you can do this. And they're those people that write those posters about dream impossible dreams because you can do it or whatever. And they may not even be saved, and you don't even know what they're doing in their life, but they're wired. They get their greatest joy from encouraging people, to calling out greatness in them. This is a great gift for the apostle to walk in. Most apostles will have this gift of exhortation. My husband does. He loves calling out greatness in people. We've got this thing at our church where basically we're like, whatever you want to do, just let us know and we'll help you. You know, we'll help you financially. What ministry do you want to start? We're going to help you get a place to have it because we're a portable church. We have to rent venues. What do you want to do? We're going to support you. We believe in you. Let's do this together, you know. And so that's exhortation. Now I went ahead and I wanted to break up some words on these notes. So I added and repeated actually verse 7 in the New King James Version because I wanted to break up these words with the meaning of them. He who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. That word to give I thought was so powerful, because it means to share and to impart. Now that word imparting really touched my heart. Apostle Hector was saying last night that you can only give and impart who you are. Is that right? You can only impart who you are. This person who has the motivational gift of giving, excuse me, it isn't just about sowing money and giving money. Yes, they will do that if they can. They love to give. They love to pour out money. Have you ever met those people? They're always giving money. I'm like, wow, they must have a lot of money. They don't always necessarily have a lot of money, but they love to give. And then God, of course, blesses them back. There's people that have the gift of giving. And don't you hope God puts some of those people around you, right? But there's people that have that gift. They just give and give and give, and of course the Lord continues to bless them, but they love giving. And I know people in our church, and they have a gift of giving. And they don't have a lot of money at all, but you know what they give? They give clothing. And they're always going to places, and they're buying things at secondhand stores, beautiful brand name things or whatever, and they're always coming to church and giving me something. Every time I go to church, I get a new gift from them because they love buying gifts and giving gifts away. And that is their you can see the glint in their eye. That's the way they're wired. The gift of giving, this is a motivational gift where people just love to give or they love to impart. Maybe they're giving, maybe they might even be giving of themselves, advice or compassion, but there's an impartation of it. So it might not be just finances, it could be anything. Giving food away, giving whatever it is. They love to give. And this is for people, again, they may not even be serving the Lord, but these are things that God put in certain people. And then cheerfulness. See, the Bible says that if you, first of all, the Bible says if you give with liberality. Now, what's really amazing about that is that basically it's saying don't be stingy about it. If God's called you to give and you have this gift, don't second guess it. Just go with it. Don't fight it. Don't worry about, well, you know, people say I shouldn't give so much money away. I know with people my age, their kids will be like, Mom, you know, we don't even, let's just say they're like, you guys really, you know, like to give a lot, and with children there could be a concern about inheritances, you know. But you know, so you want to use wisdom. The Bible says a righteous man does leave an inheritance to his children. So there is balance and there is wisdom. But the Bible says if you have the gift of giving, not to worry about things and second guess yourself. Don't be feeling that. Don't be feeling like that stingy thing try to come on you. If you've got that gift, just go with it. You know, and do it with wisdom, but don't do it with stinginess. And he who leads with diligence, amen? So there's a diligence. If you're going to be a leader, you need to be faithful to it. You've got to be diligent in it. In other words, you can't just be dropping the ball on people all the time. If you're going to lead them, you need to be an example. You need to be one that is faithful. You need to be showing them the attributes of Christ in your life. He that leads with diligence. Don't give up. Be faithful and make full proof of your ministry. Amen. And that applies to all of these. Amen. He who gives with diligence. That word diligence is actually the Greek word spoude, and it means to dispatch, to be eager, to show eagerness, as in business, to be earnest, to be careful to do something with diligence, forwardness, and haste, to run into it. Don't look back, okay? If you're a leader, do it with diligence, amen? The word mercy there is literally means to have compassion. It means to show compassion, but it also means to receive compassion. So remember, whoever has these seven giftings, whether it's prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, mercy, you know, whatever the seven gifts are that you are operating in or that you have on the inside of you, remember with all of this to be, that you're going to not only be flowing in this, but you're going to attract this. It's a two-edged sword, and we're going to talk about this more. Mercy is probably one of the greatest gifts of the seven. It's probably the greatest gift, actually, of all of the seven, some have said, and I can totally see that. But the problem with the mercy gift, as well as the others sometimes, but especially with mercy, is that not only do you give mercy, but you attract people that need to be shown mercy. And I'll tell you, mercy unbridled can cause a home to get shipwrecked, because you're going to bring home all the people, you might not even be caring, you know, like for example, a mother who has a strong gift of mercy, maybe she's a single mom, she's got children in the home with her, her own children, but then because of her gift of mercy, if there's not anybody to balance out that gift of mercy, she's gonna bring in, you know, Aunt Agnes or somebody who maybe is getting off of meth, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because she's, you know, wants to help her, and then that can pollute her home environment. So mercy without a balance can sometimes get people in trouble. And that's why we need each other with all the gifts. Does that make sense?
Yes.
The prophet who sees things in black and white and just wants to pull out the sword of the Lord and be like, off with their head, you know? Sometimes they need that attribute of mercy to be like, okay, well, maybe we should pray about this and talk to them before we, you know, you know, it's real, okay? I can't tell you where I've gotten myself in trouble at times, you know, because I am a pastor and I have to be careful to stay in that role, because sometimes in dealing with situations in our church, it's more profitable to be a pastor than a prophet, because I can't tell you how many times I slip into that, the prophet thing, and although I thought I was saying things that were very helpful to encourage them towards health and holiness, they just broke out crying, and the grown men just crying. And I'm like, why are you crying? And they're like, I don't know. And I'm like, I'm so sorry. And it was that thing that came on me, and I slipped out of the pastor into the prophet, and that thing that was just like this, you know what I'm saying? It's like this conviction instead of nurturing. Sometimes people need nurturing, not conviction, you know? But sometimes I think they do need some conviction, but I have to be careful because we have a pastoral team. I need to operate with my husband, who is an apostolic pastor. He's an exhorter. He is so wise. I have found out that when I jump out on my own initiative into that prophet thing and I try to fix things with people, especially if it's something out of order or something that I think is very, you know, it needs to be handled right now, because I'm not deferring to the other gifts among me, the other people among me, and the people that flow in other motivational gifts, it gets not only me in trouble, but it hurts the people. Because you need sometimes to be more balanced in your approach. We need each other. So I hope that helps you. Do you understand? So he or she that shows mercy with cheerfulness. Now that word cheerfulness is actually a Greek word, hilarotes, and I believe it's where we get the word hilarious from. Nobody told me that, but I'm gonna guess that's where we got the word hilarious from. And it means cheerfulness and readiness of mind. Amen? And so the manifestation, now we talked about motivational gifts. Can you say motivational gifts? There are three different classifications of gifts. How many are there?
Three.
There's motivational gifts, say motivational gifts. There's manifestation gifts, say manifestation gifts. And there are ministry gifts, say ministry gifts. Now I'm just going to give a brief overview of the others, and then we're going to go right back into motivational gifts. The manifestation gifts, we're going to be covering that in the next section at length. But for now, I'll just say 1 Corinthians 12:1-11, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Here are the men.